are back on the Blitz. Hour number two, 713-780. ESPN's your number, 713-780-3776. Or you can hit us up on the Blitz Facebook page. Find the Blitz. Click a like. You are good to go. There's also Twitter, at Fred Fowler, at AJ is the real, at Jongi Football, at Degenerates975. You can also text the show at 713-780-3776. If you missed the first hour, you got a little bit of Astros in, and a lot of Texans, and a little bit of University of Texas. All available on podcastarena.com. See, I was kind of depressing first hour with the exception of Astros talk, even though AJ tried to make that depressing.
I didn't try to make it depressing. I just think we should lead the show with it. It's baseball still.
Still, it's actually the one winning team in the city right now.
That's
until
true.
The Rockets start.
That's true.
Please. They deserve a little credit. We didn't need to do more than 2 minutes on it, but still. Anyway, 713-780-ESPN is your number. You can also listen to us on TuneIn Radio. You can listen to us on the ESPN Radio app or on our website at ESPN975.com. And let's go through the rest of the NFL, unless you have something you wanted to jump on.
No,
right
we
away.
Can do the NFL.
Okay.
I like that. I like that game.
We will start with the game in England where the Jets sent Joe Philbin to the unemployment line with a 27-14 win in a game that was just brutally ugly on both sides.
Deservedly so. That guy's a terrible coach. He should have been fired. We'll talk more
Ryan
about
Ryan Tannehill has gone completely backward too, by the way.
I want to talk about Ryan Tannehill, maybe next segment, about what's going on apparently on the inner workings of the Dolphins, which seems like a very, very ugly thing going on. But Chris Ivory had his way. I mean, they could not slow him down.
How does a team with Ndamukong Suh in the middle be that bad against the run? I think your defensive coordinator's got to go, too.
He probably should. I mean, the whole staff is fired, I think.
I'm not sure if they got everybody.
Well, they should.
Well, I haven't seen all the details since this afternoon.
So. Ryan Tannehill's just not – he's not a good football player. And that's the problem when you've got to commit to these guys who are kind of middling. I mean, if you hope for a little bit of a bump, but Ryan Tannehill wasn't that – it's not like he was – a sure thing. Oh, we've got to pay this guy. This is the quarterback of the future. It's, well, are we going to be able to find better? And now it takes one little digression, and now it's kind of like, yeah, you probably could find better.
You're in that no man's land where you're either the Browns and the Texans and the guys we all kind of lump together, 49ers, Dolphins, Bengals.
Right. But what's happened.
One out of three you hit on.
Yeah. What's happened with the Bengals is their guy's playing a little bit better. The other two guys have regressed just enough to the point where it's like, we need a new quarterback because now we're the Browns.
All right. Giants go in and beat the Bills 24-10. Bills played extremely sloppy, too many penalties.
Can't win like that.
No, that was a killer. And I think the Giants are starting to find their stride a little bit. And that's a team you probably got to watch out for in the NFC East.
Yeah, Giants did a really good job stopping the run, which they haven't really done much this year. The Bills did a good job stopping the run, but did not do a good job of keeping the Giants off the field because the penalties just killed that team, just killed them. And if you give a team too many chances, it's very difficult to win, especially teams built like the Bills are, built on running the football and controlling the clock and things like that and keeping keeping the other team's team or the other team off the field, and they just couldn't do it.
Yeah, and real nice call for me on the over in that game, by the way. I was 0-for-3 on the NFL picks from Friday, and I only bet one of them, so I was 0-for-well, I bet one other game that I was right about. So I was 1-for-1 in real bets, but 0-for-3 in our game. Not happy about that. Panthers beat the Bucks 37-23. Jameis Winston cannot get the ball to the right team. Four interceptions. Could have been worse. And
one of them to the house.
Yeah. That's not much else to say about that game.
No.
Jameis Winston happened, and the Panthers are unbeaten right now. Raiders went in as a favorite in Chicago. And I'll say this. Jay Cutler has people who criticize him, including me. But dude can win a game for you. And somebody in the game actually made a field goal.
Well, listen, it's not like Jay Cutler was great. He looked pretty good. I mean,
he didn't have the catastrophic mistake that usually costs him late in games.
Yeah, and he also did. I mean, he did some things that you never would have gotten out of, Jimmy Clausen, who was a bum.
Right.
So, is Jay Cutler going to get this team a Super Bowl? Obviously not. I mean, they're still not a good football team, but Jay Cutler made a difference for them,
and the Raiders. That's one of those. I know the Bears have really been struggling, but That's a lot to ask the Raiders to go in and win in Chicago.
Well, the Raiders just their problem was they couldn't run the ball.
No.
And Latavius Murray's been one of the pleasant surprises this season, and he just couldn't do anything.
Bengals beat the Chiefs 36-21. I guess I'm going to have to start believing in the Bengals in a little bit. And I'm also kind of losing a little respect for the Chiefs, who red zone issues and their defense just can't really stop anybody. I think the Bengals are better than I gave them a lot of credit for.
Well, Cairo Santos, fantasy MVP, 7-for-7 on field goals with a long of 51.
How many games do you win when you're kicking 7 field goals?
Well, not this one for sure.
Yeah.
But Andy Dalton, just a really impressive game. And they got Jeremy Hill going again.
Yeah.
Right
when we're about to give up on Jeremy Hill.
Yeah. It's not like he ran a lot, but he got all the goal line carries and busted them all in. But I was really impressed with Andy Dalton in this game. He's cut back on the mistakes and he's taking more chances and it's working. I like what they're doing right now. Am I going to trust them in the playoffs? Probably not, but I like them.
Maybe getting a little more comfortable in this offense. It's his second year with a new coordinator, and obviously he's playing pretty well. Colts over the Jaguars, 16-13. No Andrew Luck, and no kicker for the Jaguars. That was pretty much the story of the game. That's Colts win it, and the Jags had every chance to win this football game. That was just two bad teams. It'd be like watching Texans-Jags.
Yeah. I mean, Matt Hasselbeck out there did a respectable job, did about what you would expect him to do. It was a lot of checkdowns and dump-offs and, you know. Try not to lose the game, and he did enough to keep him in it. You know, he wasn't taking any big shots down the field, really, and he was counting on guys to make things happen after the catch. The Colts did just enough.
Yeah.
I mean, they're not going to win very many games without Andrew Luck. But this is one of the ones that they could win, and they barely edged it out.
And you know what? That's if you can get a win without him, you take it, even if it is that ugly.
No doubt.
Redskins over the Eagles, 23-20. Speaking of ugly, bad as things are here today, I bet you they're worse in Philadelphia.
Yeah, but you know what? What I'll say in Philadelphia is, at least they've got a quarterback. You know, Sam Bradford's not the problem. Do they have a coach? I don't know.
Yeah, well.
But Sam Bradford's not the problem there.
I'm not sure you got either one here.
I mean, I don't understand how you've got DeMarco Murray, Ryan Matthews, Darren Sproles, and none of them are effective. None. And you know, this was a game where you should have been able to hammer the ball most of the game, and these guys are averaging 4 yards a carry, just not they're not going anywhere.
And I think part of it's the pace of the offense. They wind up, they come out on first down, they don't get enough yards, you get an incompletion, you get a 3-and-out. And then you don't see the ball, and then next thing you know, you're behind, and you're having to throw a bunch. We've seen that with the Texans.
Yeah.
And that's just a mess, and I think the bloom is starting to get off of Chip Kelly, much as it may be Bill O'Brien. The Chargers and the Browns lose in a Browns way, which is kind of what they do.
Yeah, Phillip Rivers, what a day, huh?
Yeah,
he's been kind of middling, and then he broke out this last week, looked like Phillip Rivers of last year, and not only that, he's now going to get Antonio Gates back, so could be looking up for him.
Broncos continue to eke out wins, beating the Vikings 23-20 in a game that wound up, Broncos got out to a big lead. The Vikings came back and made a game out of it. Broncos get it late and continue to stay undefeated.
God, that touchdown run for Adrian Peterson was on 4th-and-1. And it's like the Red Sea parted. And he just ran right through the middle of the defense. I'm like, 4th-and-1, I don't even know. If I'm playing a team that's got Adrian Peterson, I don't know if I'm even putting cornerbacks out on the field. I'm just bringing in all my heavy guys and safeties, and I'm putting them all on the line.
Yeah.
Because chances are you're better off making Teddy Bridgewater throw for 1 yard.
Yeah, than you are.
Than letting Adrian I mean, that's just a bonehead.
But it's funny how often you see that on 4th-and-short. You get by that first group of guys, forget it.
And then he's gone.
Yeah. And that's exactly what happened.
But the Broncos did do a pretty good job for the rest of the day limiting him.
Yeah.
You know, other than that, he had like 15 carries for 30 yards or something like that. He didn't do a whole lot besides that one carry.
49ers may have a worse quarterback situation than the Texans. God. Packers win it 17-3, and
I'm so mad at myself.
Smack talk in there.
I'm so mad at myself for not betting that game. Like every sharp better was on the 49ers.
Yeah.
I mean, here's the sad thing: I may have to bet the 49ers this week against the Giants. It's a touchdown game, a touchdown spread, and that, you know, I'm not convinced the Giants are that good, but I don't know that I want to, just because they are so awful. And the, you know, Packers didn't play a great game.
I mean, and you could tell
defensively that the 49ers were there,
and it was a short week for the Packers. They were coming off a big Monday night game. You know, you could tell they were a little bit flat, and they still got it done.
But Colin Kaepernick is just not a player, and I don't. If you're still defending that guy and you still think that he's got something, he's got some magic special something.
All right, let's play a quick game. Colin Kaepernick or Ryan Mallett?
Colin Kaepernick.
Okay. So take back what you just said.
No.
Okay, this game just baffled me. The Rams are the hardest team in the league to figure out. They will show up against good teams and surprise you, and then they will play against dog teams and play like absolute garbage. And this was the one bet I lost yesterday. They beat the Cardinals 24-22.
Yeah, that was a good showing by them. Nick Foles, who, I mean, when you see his yardage, he's like 180 yards or something. Didn't have like a huge numbers day, but didn't turn the ball over. And they got Todd Gurley going. And if that's going to be Todd Gurley every week,
It's a different team. It's a different team.
I
hope he can stay healthy.
Though. I do too.
That's the thing with him.
He has a chance to be like one of the rare game-changing running backs in the league. And when I say game-changing running backs, I mean like the Adrian Peterson, Marshawn Lynch type backs. If he's something in between this week and last week, you know, maybe not. But if this is what he is, oh boy, watch out.
Saints beat the Cowboys in overtime. Finally get a home win. Finally get a home cover. Not a fun game to watch.
So awful to watch.
And the pass to C.J. Spiller in overtime gets the game done. 26-20 the final. And I just, the Cowboys, man, you keep seeing these guys get hurt. And I know that the Saints are pretty bad right now. But, boy, you just, without Romo, without Bryant, and Sean Lee goes out with a concussion, and now Dunbar's out. What the hell Randall was doing trying to reach the ball over the goal line again when they've told him not to do it?
Well,
and fortunately, it wasn't a fumble, but give the Saints a little credit because their season was circling the drain, too.
Well, their season's in the drain. The Falcons and Panthers are both 4-0. It's not like the Saints are going to catch them. But the thing is, and we talked about this with the Colts and how there's certain games that you're expected to win when your quarterback's out.
Yeah.
This is one that the Cowboys should have won. I mean, if you're a legit team, you got to beat the Saints while they're down. You got to beat them without Tony Romo.
How much are the Giants going to be kicking themselves over that stupid end of week one where they would be in pretty good control of the division right now?
Yeah. Week two also.
Yeah, but the one against the Cowboys was a double dagger there, because that's the team you're going to have to beat.
But they've worked their way back up, and now they're 2-2, and they may be the best team in that division, which is what I was saying even when they were 0-2. I was like, just watching them, they look like the most.
They should have been 2-0. They really should have.
The Giants, whatever they are, they're the least dysfunctional team in the NFC East.
And in the Cowboys' defense, they're only dysfunctional because everybody's hurt.
Oh, yeah, but it's happening.
Yeah. Not much you can do about
no.
that. No. Anyway, there you go. That's your look at the league. And then tonight, you have the Seahawks and the Lions, and I'm guessing you're on the Seahawks.
I like the Seahawks. The Lions just, they're going to have to prove it to me. You know, they've looked really bad so far, and the Seahawks at home are just money.
I'm not playing tonight's game. I'm still reeling a little bit over the Cardinals. That was and as the weekend went, I wound up getting more right than I did wrong in actual bets, but both of my medium-sized bets lost, and all the other bets were small bets, so I wound up down a little bit for the weekend.
Yeah, I had a couple games that ended up working out. I bet the Bears when they announced Cutler was playing, and the Bears were +3 at even money, which was nice.
Yeah.
I had the Jets, and that was, I wasn't really sweating that one at any point. And then my big play this week was the Redskins +5.5, and they also took care of me.
Boy, some people will just defend quarterbacks they like to no end. Put any quarterback behind that Dolphins line and no running game, and you'd get the same results.
No,
you wouldn't. Sorry.
Right, and I can't wait to read this story. About, we'll do this Ryan Tannehill story next.
Yeah, we'll tell you all about it when we come back.
Oh, Lord.
It's a Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Make enough figures until my pockets get bigger. I ain't the type of brother made for you to start testing. Give me a sniff, I'm with it, I have niggas undressing. Thinking of cash. ESPN 97.5. Classic Chevy Sherman. It's just one of those days where you don't want to wake up. Everything is, everybody sucks. Cowboys Patriots NFL 3:30 p.m. Sunday, presented by All American Berryman Products on ESPN 97.5.
It's not for a lack of want to or a lack of understanding that what we need to do. We're just not getting it done, and we have to get it done. It's plain and simple. We're up against the wall right now, and we have to fight our way out one game at a time. And you know, we keep saying it. We have to start games better. You know, offensively, defensively, special teams, you know, as a team, we have to start games better.
And we're back on the Blitz. Sounds like Ryan Tannehill, but that could be anyone involved with the Texans.
That could be easily.
Bill O'Brien. We have to coach better. We have to play better.
So, one of the funnier stories, I was reading about Joe Philbin today. Which... I mean,
really, you're wasting time reading about Joe Philbin?
Well, I was trying to figure out like who were maybe some candidates to replace him or whatever. And I came across this story and maybe part of why he was fired. In an effort to build Tannehill's confidence after the 41-14 loss to Buffalo in week 3, in which Tannehill threw 3 picks, including a pick 6.
Never go full Matt Schaub.
Yeah, Philbin decided to try a different approach. And this is according to Aaron Wilson, who works for the Houston Chronicle.
Aaron's pretty well connected.
Philbin told the Dolphins practice squad players to take it easy on Tannehill so the quarterback could get some of his confidence back. Apparently, Tannehill was throwing so many interceptions in practice that he was getting frustrated to the point where he would talk trash to certain practice squad players after they would pick him off. He was quoted as saying, "Enjoy your practice squad paycheck. Enjoy your practice squad trophy," after throwing a pick to practice squad players. Obviously, the confidence restoration plan didn't quite work out, as Tannehill threw a couple more picks today or yesterday. But what a mess. What a mess. And Ndamukong Suh wore tennis shoes to a full padded practice on Thursday. Basically, he's in full, I don't give a damn
mode.
Yeah,
he's gone.
And whoever signed that guy had to know it's going to take, it's not going to be an easy thing to deal with. You know, you got to handle this guy in a certain way.
That's why
if you want to get the most out of him.
And I get why you go and you take that kind of swing at a guy like that, because his talent is through the roof. But for that kind of money and knowing you're getting a head case, I think I might have chose to spend my money in another place. But wow. And it obviously hasn't worked. And I thought that team would be better this year, but Philbin can't coach, and Tannehill's gone backward. And when you're having to do that, when you're having to tell practice squad players to lay off a quarterback, that's kind of stuff the Texans were having to do with Schaub.
Yeah.
And that's bad,
that's
because now dudes are in your head.
But worse than that, not only is like it's embarrassing that the coach had to do that, even more embarrassing is Ryan Tannehill being frustrated to the point that he's like smack-talking practice squad guys. Are you serious?
It's like you smack-talking interns.
Come on, man.
Yeah, that's not good. Hey, we haven't had a chance to talk about the UFC, but the main event was pretty good.
Main event was fantastic. The card, the full card top to bottom, wasn't the best. You know, there was... It wasn't awful. There weren't any really, like, totally boring fights. But there wasn't that one big moment. Well, I guess other than Sage Northcutt, which everyone was buzzing about and the internet is blowing up about. But there wasn't a big, like, at least on the televised card, there wasn't that big moment until the two main event guys went at it. And they stole the show. I mean, it was a fantastic fight. Really, I thought it could have gone either way. But Cormier gets a nod, and good for him. It was a really good fight. It looks like there's some serious medical suspensions coming Gustafson's way. It looks like it's going to be 6 months before we see Alex Gustafson again. They haven't given everything out officially, but it looks like a broken hand and a broken nose for Alex. Supposedly broke his hand in the second round, broke his nose in the, I think, in the second round as well. And Daniel Cormier is suspended until November 18th, so he got a few weeks as well. That's a tough fight, man. And there were a couple other guys that, took some real damage. Yair Rodriguez, his foot looked like a pumpkin, but apparently they're saying that it wasn't broken despite the swelling. So, there were some decent fights.
Your favorite fighter won, though.
One fantastic fight.
Your favorite fighter, Sage Northcutt, won.
Sage Northcutt did win. And he was very impressive in his performance. And even more impressive was the little front flip he did.
Yeah.
And he literally had a flawless victory. Like, he took zero damage. None. I don't think Frank tried to throw a kick and he missed and fell down, which is when Sage just pounced on him. Mm-hmm. But perfect performance for Sage.
Yeah, I didn't get to watch the fights till the next morning. I was on my way out there after we did our thing at Luke's, and about halfway home, I told the Uber driver, you know what? You should probably just drop me off at home. We had quite a few there while we were watching the game. So anyway, but I did watch him the next morning, and yeah, I loved the main event. I thought that was a terrific fight. You're right. I thought it could have gone either way, but you know, it was worth it. Great having it back here in town. All right. Quick break. We come back. Stanford Rouse is going to join us and talk a little NFL, talk a little college football. We'll get him to weigh in on whether or not you should be retweeting things at halftime. Quick break. It's the Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
Live from the Gow Studios in Houston, Texas, this is the Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Brought to you by AcceptanceAppliance.com. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on the Blitz. We'll get back to your phone calls and general hatred of the Texans and how that game went in a little bit. But joining us now, as he does every Monday, our NFL insider Stanford Rout, former NFL and UH cornerback. And Stanford, let me ask you a college question first. How often did you retweet somebody at halftime of a game?
Thankfully, social media wasn't really that big back when I was playing in college. So I'm glad I didn't have to go through that era.
It has obviously changed a lot, and you know, guys are always on Twitter. But halftime of a game, man, did you check your phone at halftime for any reason?
Back when I was in college, I had the phone that came free with activation. So I could barely send text messages without, you know, less than being on the internet, having a Wi-Fi connection and all that.
You didn't have any of that that UH money? Come on, man.
Oh, come on now. It's the University of Houston. Come on.
Man, I wonder where my money's going in. Jeez. So we're going to do a new thing this week, and obviously from all the games, want to do three things with Stanford, three things that you noticed this weekend that you wanted to get into, and all three of those sounded pretty good, so let's roll.
Wow. You got six teams right now that are undefeated. You got the Patriots, Green Bay, Denver, Atlanta, the Panthers, and Cincinnati. I'd probably still have to go with the Patriots and Green Bay and Denver being the legit of those six that are undefeated that actually really have a shot at doing something. You got the Pats, obviously, number 12 at quarterback. They can do whatever they want. And any other place on the field where they might have a weakness or what you would call not a strength, I believe that Bill Belichick, he's got a way to always overcome all that. Green Bay, same thing. You got Aaron Rodgers, you always got a shot. And the most intriguing one to me is Denver. You know, everybody's going around saying that Peyton has lost arm strength or he's not the same. True. Is he the same quarterback he was 3 years ago? No. But he still is definitely better than a lot of what's out there in this league. But where he is declining slightly, I believe, not greatly, I think slightly, that's where now he has a defense that can win ugly for him if need be. He doesn't have to go out there and throw 55 touchdowns like he once did.
All right. Number two on your list.
Wow. Number two, maybe they just need to go ahead and just get rid of kickers altogether, because this whole PAT thing moved back to the 15-yard line. I don't know what's going on with that, but apparently teams are just getting fed up with it. You got the Steelers. They went ahead released their kicker, Scobie, after everything that went on Thursday night. Then you got Texans. They released their guy last week, and I believe Tampa Bay just
Tampa today.
Today. So, I mean, now it's just pretty much where just teams just might just want to just go for two every play. Cause,
well, let me ask you, is that extra point getting in their heads on field goals? Because we're seeing guys miss. We saw it with Jacksonville. Uh-huh. You know, two chances to win the game. We saw the Saints last night before overtime, chance to win the game. And guys, I know that we always have stretches where people miss a lot of field goals, but if you start stressing over that extra point, and we know kickers are kind of little fruit bats anyway, is it making it harder for them to kick field goals?
Maybe it is. I don't know.
Or are they just choking dogs?
I don't know. I think that for them to move it back to the 15-yard line and still keep the two-point conversion line of scrimmage still at the two-yard line, I think it's just going to encourage teams to just go for two more now than just go for the extra point, because when you move it further back, obviously it's only 13 yards they're moving it back from the original, but apparently it's making a much bigger difference than people thought. I have no idea on that one.
From just a pure percentage perspective, if you can get 52% on twos, you should go every time. Right?
Yeah, but if you don't get it, that's 2 points that you're missing out on in what used to be the automatic extra point. You're missing out on that. And in NFL games, they usually come down to single-digit points at the end of the game, and you really don't want to mess around and lose a game because you went for two when you could have just gone for one, and that could have been the difference.
But if you're one of these teams who has a stronger offense, I mean, if you go for two, you're suddenly putting the pressure on the other team that they have to go for two as well.
Mm-hmm.
And I liked what Pittsburgh was doing early in the season with that. Yeah. You know, and Pittsburgh's confident, and they, you know, it's a little different now that they don't have Roethlisberger, but they line up at the two-yard line. They feel like they can score from there more often than they're not going to score. To me, if you've got a strong enough offense, it makes sense to me to go for it because, if your offense is that strong, if you don't get it, you'll be able to make up for it later. But if you do get it, you're putting a lot of pressure on that team that's not as strong offensively.
Well, yeah, because they got to match you point for point as far as what the other team has to do. But the thing, man, in this league, you got so many different variables that could happen. You could just have a simple drop pass by the receiver, a false start by an offensive tackle, or just a great play by the defense, whether it's a linebacker or a safety or whatever. So that one play, yeah, your offense is doing good. They should score. But that one play, anything can happen, and you just missed out on 2 points when you could have had the one automatic. So it's got a little bit – it cuts both ways.
I go for two on Madden every time. And I'd probably lose some points that I shouldn't have. All right, what's number three on the list?
Man, this Thursday, you know, the Texans, they got the Colts. I don't think the season is all lost for them. I know a lot of people are down on them, but they can go. They can win on Thursday. Andrew Luck is maybe he might play, maybe he won't. He's been kind of interception prone more so than usual starting off this season. The Texans still in it. I mean, this year could very well wind up being in the AFC South. The last year, like the NFC South was, with the winner of the division going 7-9, having to decide the last game of the season who actually goes to the playoffs.
But what makes you think that they can win these games after, and not just what we saw yesterday? Yesterday was kind of the absolute nadir of what we've seen this year, but they weren't competitive against the Chiefs. They scored a couple touchdowns late to make it close. Uh-huh. They weren't competitive against the Panthers. They beat a really awful Bucs team and hardly put any pressure on a guy who, if you put any pressure on, is going to throw four picks like we saw yesterday. And then they go
just like he did at Florida State last year.
Well, and then they go into Atlanta and just get absolutely bent over. What about this team do you see that makes you think that they can not just beat the Colts, which I think they can beat the Colts because the Colts are, even if Andrew Luck's out there, I don't think he's 100%. What makes you think they can get on a run enough to keep going?
Well, it's not really what I see within this team. It's what I see with the other teams. You got Tennessee, Jacksonville, and Indianapolis right now, who none of them are setting the world on fire. And all you got to do is win your division, and that gets you to the playoffs. But nobody said that you have to go 11-5, 12-4, anything like that. All you have to do is just win your division. So if you are the best of what's in your division, you go to the playoffs. Look at last year, back in the NFC South, you got the Panthers and the Falcons that were they were literally trying to see who they were trying to give the division away to each other. And then lo and behold, last game of the season, Carolina goes into Atlanta. They blow Atlanta out of the stadium, and they go to the playoffs, and then they even beat the Cardinals in the first round of the playoffs, going all the way to the divisional round.
Well, let me ask it another way. What about this Texans team do you see that makes you think they're any different than Jacksonville or Tennessee?
J.J. Watt.
Is he going to play quarterback?
Arian Foster.
Oh, if Arian Foster's ever healthy, I mean, I don't know that he is. And J.J. Watt, I feel like, listen, J.J. Watt's always going to be effective. Mm-hmm. The days of J.J. Watt getting 20 and a half sacks are done because teams aren't going to let that happen anymore. Clowney may end up getting 20 and a half sacks because teams put everything on J.J. Watt, but he's just not getting the free path to the quarterback that he's been getting. But even when you've got J.J. Watt was there yesterday. He had a sack.
Yesterday was one of those games where it can become a snowball effect real quick in the NFL. Whether you have a good team, bad team, whatever you want to call it, you got the Texans coming out early on, interception that led to a touchdown. You had the freak fumble incident where that led to a touchdown. And before you know it, it's 14-21-0 real quick. I mean, just like what you were saying, Fred, like on Madden, that's a 21-0 skunk. You just go ahead and turn the game off. Well, once that snowball effect gets really, really going, and you even see Devontae Freeman having his touchdowns. He didn't even have 100 yards rushing, but he still had 3 touchdowns. It can get real ugly real quick, and once you get into a hole, then you get out of rhythm on offense to where now you're throwing it, you can't really run it the way you want to, and even on defense, now you're in such a desperation mode where you're trying to get takeaways because you got to get back into the game. It's very easy to let the game get away from you in the NFL, and it can look ugly real quick, and it may not even be the true disparity of the talent level between both teams.
All right, let me ask you this, because I know you were on some Raiders teams that suffered some losses like that. How often did you bounce back to next week win?
Man, you really like poking it. It would all depend. There were some games where we got blown out, and we'd actually come back the next week and beat a playoff team. Or a team who eventually went to the playoffs that season. So every situation is a little bit different. This is the NFL. Nobody's truly afraid of one another or another team. That's why you don't see as many blowouts in the NFL like you do in college. So anything can happen. And with the leader in the AFC South right now being just 2-2, I still think it's like a jump ball. It's anybody's game.
All right, that's Stanford Rout, former Raider cornerback, played briefly here with the Texans, also played at the University of Houston, which we haven't got a chance to talk about yet, but we will in the next hour because we're going to get to some college football. But tell you what, man, I'm liking what Tom Herman's doing over there.
Man, I love it, too. They're 4-0 right now, and they look like they can run the table in the conference.
I can't wait to see what big-time football program he gets hired by.
Hey, it's going to happen.
He already got hired by a big-time football program.
It's going to happen.
I know. He left Ohio State.
We all get it. Like, U of H is almost kind of like a stepping stool for assistant coaches to become head coaches in bigger conferences, just like Art Briles. You got Sumlin. You're right. Obviously, if U of H does their thing, Herman probably will be the head coach at Tennessee or
Alabama when Saban goes to the NFL. This guy's going to be a hot commodity.
This is a
Saban. I don't think he's an NFL type of guy. I think he's comfortable being in college.
I think he's a money type of guy. I don't know what
kind of like Coach K is for Duke, and even Coach Calipari is with Kentucky. I think certain guys, I think they like the college game, and that's pretty much where they feel comfortable in staying.
But if UH turns into Arkansas State, and they have Hugh Freeze, Gus Malzahn, and Brian Harsin come through all in a row. Hey, good for you.
And I'll tell you what, I'll take that pedigree at UH if Herman turns out to be that good, because
for sure,
you know, Brile, Sumlin. Let's talk about some of the offensive coordinators over
there.
No,
Dana
Holgorsen.
But I use Arkansas Phillip State Montgomery. As an example, because they did that. Those guys all went.
Yeah,
that was consecutive years.
One year,
yeah, they won and done. Yeah. But if you're getting those guys and you're a program like that, good for you. And the next guy wants to come. Well, when Hugh Freeze leaves, Gus Malzahn wants to come coach you.
Well, and hopefully. This is a little higher profile than Arkansas State.
I think so, too.
Gives you a better chance to get to a better place.
But that's what I'm saying. If Arkansas State can do that, if they can have a run of those guys, imagine what UH could do.
Well, with Herman, if he could mess around here and actually keep a lot of this Houston talent or this talent in this region of the state and actually keep them here, going to University of Houston rather than going to A&M or Baylor or TCU. Notice I didn't even say Texas.
Yeah, they're not going to Texas.
If he can keep that talent right here in this region, then U of H could turn out to really be a consecutive 9-10-win season type of team. And eventually, what I would always love for as a former Cougar is for them to get into a bigger time conference, a Power 5 conference.
Yeah.
That's going to be a hard step to make, but if they can, I think that a guy like Herman would actually stay, because what's the difference between SEC and the Big Ten?
Right. Once you're in one of those schools, it doesn't much matter.
Yeah.
See, and I disagree about.
But I don't think they're going to a Power 5 conference anytime soon.
Trust me, it's going to take a lot.
I would just assume they win the American Conference every single year and get the best of the rest of five bowl bid.
Basically turn into Boise, what Boise was.
Yeah, exactly.
I'd be fine with that, because that's, you know, and then you play some high-profile games and you win a few like you did going on beating Louisville on the road. I think it's, I think there's something to be said for that, rather than going and becoming Iowa State. I mean, I'd rather have what UH has and what Iowa State has, or what Kansas has in the Big 12.
Nobody wants to be Kansas.
Well, yeah, but it takes time, because I remember back when I was a freshman at University of Houston, and I remember TCU had just got into Conference USA. They had previously been in the WAC, and they get into Conference USA. They're just kind of floating around. And then by my junior senior year, that's when TCU was stringing together some wins. I believe they were number 9 or 10 in the BCS. I believe it was my junior or senior. I forget. And then TCU was in Conference USA, and then they went to the Mountain West. They kept the train rolling then, and then eventually they found themselves in the Big 12. Now, they had to go all the way around Eve's Barn to do it, but now they're in the Big 12, and TCU is balling. I mean, look what they did to UT just the other day. I mean, like, we got players from UT retweeting during halftime. Oh, yeah.
That place is a total mess right now.
It is.
And me, as a former Austinite, with Charlie Strong being there, I honestly never thought I'd really see the day where an African American would be the head coach at University of Texas.
Oh, it'll never happen again.
Thank God, and I love it. But I really, really want to see him get that thing turned around, because, you know, everything when Mack Brown was on his way out, it seemed like everything was kind of dying. But I'd love to see him get it turned around, and I hope it does. But I just don't think the UT's getting the same caliber of athletes and players as they once did. And I think now they're more scattered throughout the state of Texas.
All right, we got to wrap it up here. I got to tell you about my friends over at SiteJab. If you're a business owner looking for more leads, if you tried looking your business up on the internet, if it's hard to find, more likely, guess what? Your customers are having a hard time trying to find you as well. That's where SiteJab comes in. SiteJab has helped local businesses grow their leads from 30% to as much as 75% in just a few months. Imagine what that can mean to your bottom line. So basically, if you can't find yourself on the internet, they're going to help you do it. And they have had all kinds of success stories. Companies that started as mom and pops that have now grown into hiring a whole bunch of people because their business got so big so fast through SiteJab. Here's what you do. You can get a free consultation. And Houston-based SiteJab, Hector Garcia started this business 3 years ago with a vision to help local business owners find success in a very competitive online market. And that's what he's been doing for a lot of local businesses. And if you're over in Beaumont, Lake Charles, he can help your business as well. From home improvement to the oil and gas industry, your business needs the Google certified experts at sitejab.com. Hector wants to help you build your business, and he knows how to do it. Give him a call, 713-999-4661. That's 713-999-4661. Schedule your free consultation, and if you sign up for their services, they'll even throw in a free mobile website, which is a $400 value, but you have to call now. Get more clicks and more leads at sitejab.com. That's 713-999-4661. 713-999-4661, sitejab.com. And we are back on the Blitz. Playing the Bud Light Fantasy Thursday game and win $100. It's absolutely free to play. We're having happy hour at the New Christians Tailgate in downtown from 5 until Sunday on 5 until 7 on Thursday. The top point scorer wins $100 and will be invited to play in the finals for a chance to win $2,000. The only way you can enter is to get the link at Christians Tailgate from Raheel and the ESPN 97 Road Crew, courtesy of ESPN 97.5 and Bud Light.
Did you see the Astros open as a favorite against the Yankees?
Not really surprised, actually. I would probably bet the Yankees. I don't want to get too negative here, but
I guess I'm mostly surprised just because, I mean, the Yankees have been a decent home team, 45-36 at home. The Astros are 33-48 on the road.
Yeah, I think it's more Keuchel's record against the Yankees is what it is, and he gets a lot of respect nationally for what he's done. So I think that's why. Now, from a betting perspective, I might take the Yankees here, but I wouldn't feel good about it. As dogs, though, I think that's where your value is. Anyway,
I think the Yankees, it looks like some of their highest paid players, Brett Gardner, Jacoby Ellsbury, Brian McCann, are probably all sitting out. They're going to try to be as right-handed as possible against Keuchel. That's $300 million worth of contracts that they're going to sit out in the one-game playoff.
Well, if it works, it works.
I mean, he does just – he owns left-handed hitters. Mm-hmm. I mean, it makes sense, but, yeah, that's tough. They may stick with McCann, it says, just because Tanaka – I mean,
that's his guy.
That's his guy.
Yeah.
But – in five starts with Murphy behind the plate, who's the backup catcher, Tanaka has a 2.83 ERA, 32 strikeouts, 4 walks in 35 innings. That's according to Buster Olney.
Hmm. So, all right, we will discuss more in the next hour, and we'll finally get to some college football. But right now, we got to do the Zadok Jewelers Gym of the Day.
The Gym of the Day. It's the Gym of the Day. The Zadok Jeweler Gym of the Day.
All right, this will mean a lot to you because I'm guessing at some point in the future you're going to have a wedding where you're going to invite a bunch of people and you have to order food and stuff and pay a bunch of money for it. Well, what happens if somebody last minute just doesn't show up after they've RSVP'd, said they're going to be there, don't call, don't say anything, they just don't show up?
To a wedding?
Yeah.
That's a bum move.
It is kind of it's a bitch move, let's be honest.
That's why I tell people don't invite me to your wedding.
Well, yeah, because I'm not going to go anywhere.
I don't want to go.
But Jessica Baker said she was on her way to go. Her mom was supposed to watch her kids, and mom called at the last minute and said she had something come up and can't make it. And, of course, since there's no children at the wedding, she couldn't take them. So guess what she received in the mail this week?
What'd she get?
A bill for the dinner they were supposed to have at the wedding, which I kind of think is a fair move. Apparently, $75.90, two herb-crusted walleyes at $30 a piece, plus a service and tax charge. So she got a bill from the people having the wedding for $75.90.
Yeah. She going to pay it?
No, of course she's not going to pay it.
Of course not.
Because, oh, well, something came up. Oh, dude, have a backup plan for your, if it's that important to you. And you're probably lying about your excuse anyway. You just decided not to go, which, I'm cool with that too, but don't go that way. But anyway. So, just John, somebody does that to you, send them a bill.
I mean, isn't that expected, though? Like, I think there's a percentage of people that you're – I think the number I saw was 10% of the people that you invite end up not showing up. So, you got to kind of factor that in the cost of everything.
Yeah, you do. But, that's one good way to handle it. Plus, you tell that person, get the hell out of my life. I never want to see you again.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's your Zadok Jewelers Gym of the Day.
The gym of the day. It's the gym of the day. The Zadok Jeweler Gym of the Day. All right, guys, going to tell you again about attorney Gary Trichter. He's a champion of justice. That's what I like to call him, the champion of justice. Because a lot of times you'll be pulled over, you'll be accused of DUI, falsely accused of DUI. You're allowed to go to the bar and have a beer with dinner. You're perfectly within your rights to do such a thing. If your weekend sucked because of a DWI arrest, don't despair. There's still hope. Even if you failed one of the tests the police gave you, breath or blood test, those tests, they're inaccurate, they're unreliable, and most juries are smart. They're going to notice the problems with the machines and the science behind them. Attorney Gary Trichter is a DWI specialist, and he's right here in Houston. What that means is he's experienced in telling the truth about police blood tests to juries. He's one of only four board-certified DWI specialists in the entire state. So if you failed the breath or blood test, DWI, DUI, or boating while intoxicated, call Attorney Gary Trichter. Don't leave your fate in the hands of someone who's not experienced in defending these cases. A lot of lawyers will take DUI cases. Not a lot of them take them to trial. That's where Attorney Gary Trichter is really a pro. Put his number on your cell phone at 713-524-1010 or visit TexasDWILaw.com. That's 713-524-1010 for Gary Trichter.